Hello again. I want to tell you a story today about a lady who only had one child, and she came to a Christian worker named Mrs. Pearsall Smith. She said, "Oh, I do not dare to pray, 'Thy will be done,' because I'm afraid that God will take away my little boy or will send me some heavy trial." And Mrs. Smith replied, "Suppose your child should come to you today and say, 'I want to be and do just what you desire me to be today.' Would you say to yourself, 'Aha, now is my opportunity to make this child do all the disagreeable duties that I want done. I will take advantage of his willingness to please me by cutting off all his pleasures today, and I will keep him in hard discipline.'" "Oh, no, no," said the mother. "I would give him the best day I could possibly plan." And then Mrs. Smith replied, "And can you think God is less just and loving than you?" Teacher, assuming that you, as you teach this lesson, agree with Mrs. Smith and believe that God is too loving to be unkind and too wise to make a mistake with our lives, I'd like to just go over some further insights on determining God's will from a couple of chapters in the Old Testament. I'd like to tell you that this would only be 3 points in a poem, but the truth is there are really 10 points, or 10 principles. And this is a study I did one time. In fact, it was just as I was reading through these chapters in 1 Samuel that these principles began to sort of leap out at me, and it was a very exciting and thrilling study for me on determining God's will, and I'd just like to share some of that with you today. Would you just stop the tape right now and read 1 Samuel 9, 1 through 14? And incidentally, it really wouldn't do you any good to hear the rest of the tape unless you can take the time to read these scriptures as we go along. So would you do that right now, please? The first principle that I see is that God's will is often revealed while we're doing ordinary, mundane, routine work. What was Saul doing at this time? Verses 3 to 5 tell us that he was going to find donkeys. Now, this wasn't a very exciting thing, was it? But faithfulness to the task at hand is very important in determining God's will. Another example of this, for instance, is Rebekah in Genesis 24. She was going about the ordinary, mundane routine of her life when God moved into her life in a very significant way and changed the whole course of her future. And you'll never know when an ordinary moment might be God's moment of destiny for you. All right, the second thing I see in verses 6 through 11 is God sometimes uses a seeming sort of chance remark or a sudden idea or something that seems like a new thought in order to get us on the path of his will. A third principle is that God's timing is always perfect. Look at verses 11 to 14 and just note how many things had to line up before Saul and Samuel could have met at that precise moment. Samuel had been away and he was leaving again immediately to go to the sacrifice, and the girls that Saul sort of just, quote, happened to ask, happened to know all about Samuel's schedule and where to find him. And while passing this town, Saul's servant had had a sudden idea, which Saul didn't really think was too feasible because they didn't have any money or any gift, but he finally agreed to it. He thought it was worth a try in order to try and find his donkeys. Does that sound like a chance meeting to you? No, not hardly. Proverbs 16:33 in the Amplified says, "Even the events that seem accidental are really ordered by the Lord." Now, friend, would you just turn off your tape again and read 1 Samuel 9, verses 15 to 27. All right, here you found that God often reveals his will to us by revealing it, first of all, to another spiritually minded person before revealing it to us. Note how specifically God was leading Samuel at this time, verses 15 to 24. I think of another incident, 1 Timothy 1:18 in the New English Bible, which says, "This charge, son Timothy, I lay upon you following that prophetic utterance which first pointed you out to me." And here we see how God was pointing out Saul to Samuel in such a specific way. The fifth principle is in verse 20. be sensitive to the restraining or the constraining power of the Spirit. When the Spirit is saying go or stay, we need to be extremely sensitive. You know, Saul had already found out what he wanted to know. And what if he had just said, well, why wait? I've got my answer. Let's get on home. Sensitivity to the Spirit's leading and saying go or stay. Now, again, switch off your tape for a moment and read 1 Samuel 10, verses 1 to 16. God will confirm His will to us. Note how many and how specific were the signposts and the directions that God gave Saul through Samuel to confirm His will. Principle number 6 is that God will confirm His will to us. And then the 7th one is found in these first 8 verses of chapter 10. And I believe the principle here is that being filled with the Spirit is essential if we expect His guidance. Now, by being filled, I mean allowing the Holy Spirit to occupy the whole of your personality with the adequacy of Christ. And it simply means being cleansed of our sin, asking forgiveness, yielding ourselves to Him, being obedient and available, and asking Him to come and fill us, and then thanking Him for doing so. Look at verses 6 and 7. Obeying and yielding to Him daily is the best insurance that we have for discovering God's will and for having the discernment and the wisdom necessary to carry out His will. He never will leave us on our own to carry out His will. He will guide us. And wherever He guides, ladies, He does provide. And then the 8th principle is that God will prepare your heart to receive His will. Look at verse 9 of chapter 10. And note that before the above things came to pass, God gave Saul a new attitude. He prepared his heart to receive His will. And God will prepare your heart to receive His will. And incidentally, you can count on some people trying to discourage you from doing God's will, and oftentimes it could even be your dearest Christian friends. And this is one reason you need an anchor. You need some promises from His Word so that you will not be moved from following His will. You need to know that God is leading you. And then principle number 10 is, don't let fear make you hide from God's will. God generally gives us a job bigger than we are. And our natural response to this is fear. When we sense the immensity and the importance of the task that God's calling us to, we often feel so inadequate and so fearful. And we like Saul, we even attempt to hide. Look at verses 22 and 23. Where was Saul? He was hiding among the baggage. And note who pointed out where Saul was. Who was it? God. Jeremiah 23:24 says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Well, there we have at least 10 principles, and probably you could find many more in the passage, all showing us how personally God is involved and interested in communicating clearly His will to us. Now, I wish that I could say that Saul's sensitivity in obeying God's will in this incident continued on through his life, but sadly, that is not so. And ladies, because you have obeyed God and doing His will in one thing does not necessarily ensure that you are in the center of God's will for the rest of your life. Read 1 Samuel 13, 11 through 14. Disobedience and pride can take you out of the will of God and set you on the shelf. And this will break the heart of those who love you and have prayed for you and that have helped you in discerning God's will. And of course, it will break the heart of God. Satan is not interested in yesterday's press clippings. Yesterday's obedience, yesterday's victories are not impressive to him. And the real question that we need to answer today, teacher, is how is my obedience to God's will today? Blessings on you as you think about this and prepare to teach your lesson this week.